So many big mergers, so many congressional approvals.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The CEOs of AT&T and T-Mobile are on Capitol Hill this morning. They're trying to convince lawmakers their companies should be allowed to get together. The $39 billion merger is getting a lot of scrutiny because it's going to create the nation's largest mobile phone giant and means just two companies, AT&T and Verizon, would control 75% of the market. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest on that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So it seems like all these big proposed mergers are criticized at first, but they do eventually get approved.
Yeah, you're right. Over the past few years, regulators, especially in the communications field, have been reluctant to step in when businesses argue that they have to be big to keep technology going forward. Remember that the mergers between Comcast and NBC and Sirius and XM were criticized when they were first proposed. But Kerry McGilvery, a mobile phone industry analyst with International Data Corporation, says size really does matter.
The cost of building a network is overwhelming. So if they can get some critical mass by bringing together assets of both T-Mobile and AT&T, it can help defray some of that cost.
All right. But at what point, John, do regulators say this really is too much consolidation? Joining these big companies together doesn't leave enough choice for consumers.
Well, they thought Microsoft crossed the line when it offered its browser for free to put competing software companies out of business. But that tipping point is subjective. The Bush administration, they wouldn't intervene unless there was substantial anti-competitive harm. The Obama administration withdrew that standard, saying it leaves too many big merged companies with too few competitors. But if this mobile T-Mobile AT&T deal goes through, AT&T is promising a lot better service.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets right now are mixed. The NASDAQ is up about 0.2%, but the S&P and Dow both down about 0.2 to 0.3%. The Dow off about 43 points at 12,351. More people last week applied for first-time jobless benefits. The Labor Department survey was up by 10,000. The Commerce Department kept its original GDP estimate at 1.8% annual growth. I can remember when I was a lot younger, I thought I was invincible. Health problems, me? No. But a study out this morning finds 2 out of 5 young people, those between 19 and 29, have medical debt or problems paying medical bills. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Gregory Warner explains.
Young people are relatively healthy and cheap to insure, but when bad things happen,
they have less income and they have less insurance coverage.
Sarah Collins of the Commonwealth Group is lead author of the study released today. It found that 40% of young people and over half of young women have problems paying their medical bills. Having health insurance is no guarantee against going into debt. College health plans are often limited.
A lot of these policies are really skimpy, and you may not notice that it has a low lifetime benefit limit until you actually go through the benefit.
Until you have that accident or,
that's
you,
right.
Or you get pregnant.
Right.
Collins says the healthcare reform law is having a major effect on this age group. 500,000 people under age 26 have already signed up on their parents' plans. And next year, college health plans have to cover catastrophes, same as private insurance does now. By 2014, over 7 million new young people will qualify for Medicaid under expanded rules. Whether they sign up depends on how invincible they feel. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
More severe weather is in the forecast today in the Midwest and South, just the latest in what's been a pretty crazy season of wild weather, including tornadoes and floods and drought, just awful. Farms have been hit really hard, too, and if you pay federal taxes, then you subsidize crop insurance for those farmers who have been affected. And as Harvest Public Media's Tim Lloyd reports, any more extreme weather could make crop insurance an expensive proposition.
Federal crop insurance was created after the Dust Bowl. The fear then was Mother Nature could wipe out parts of American agriculture. And even today, taxpayers subsidize around 60% of farmers' crop insurance premiums. Now, extreme weather brought on by climate change could up the ante.
You know, the unknown presents risk because insurance, what you're doing is that you're looking at your past and you're trying to use that to predict your future.
Bill Murphy oversees the Risk Management Agency, a subset of the USDA that regulates the crop insurance industry. Farmers now rely on that insurance to ride out tough years, and banks that lend to farmers rely on it too as a way to protect themselves from a bad crop season. Scott Gerlt is a crop analyst at the University of Missouri.
If there's more risk in the marketplace, we would expect to see premiums go up, which would increase the government subsidies.
So, here's the domino effect. Climate change means more risk. More risk means higher premiums, and higher premiums mean more tax dollars. Then there's the unknown. There are models that forecast how climate change will affect insurance, but most focus on America's populated coasts. That's a problem because most crop policies are held in the Midwest, and the price for crops like soybeans, corn, and cotton have never been higher. And that much money means there's that much more to lose. Just ask Richard Oswald. Oswald's tractor idles as he stands at the edge of his Missouri farmland that runs five generations deep. In 1993, his fields were underwater.
What a lot of farmers confront, farmers I've known who've quit farming, if we have 2 years in a row like that, everything we've worked our whole lives for can be gone.
And that vulnerability has record numbers of farmers signing up for crop insurance. Even without projections for more extreme weather, the Congressional Budget Office expects crop insurance to cost the federal government a whopping $77 billion over the next 10 years. That's almost twice what it was over the previous decade. In Kansas City, I'm Tim Lloyd for Marketplace.
Finally, the Texas House of Representatives passed a bill that would have made intense airport pat-downs a misdemeanor with fines, even jail time. The Transportation Security Administration got wind of the measure and sent a letter to the state of Texas. It said, if you pass that bill, we're going to have to cancel all flights in and out of your state. The Senate sponsor withdrew the measure. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
After the financial crisis came a lot of insights, including this one. When the government backs private enterprise, oh boy, a lot can go wrong.
They benefited themselves all the while wrapping themselves in the American flag and saying that they were really benefiting borrowers.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Reckless endangerment in the rearview mirror. That's next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.